Free Talk Live. Open phones, as always, if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Aria.
We've got some, as usual, ridiculous news to share with you here tonight. And then coming up, some state representatives who do not favor independence have spoken out. We will share with you what they have to say.
Yeah, because their comments are priceless.
They are pretty also ridiculous. So we got a lot of ridiculousness here tonight. And again, Ian and Aria in the studio, phones open as always. But to start out with, it's warmed up a little bit here in the southwestern corner of New Hampshire today. I mean, yesterday there was a snowstorm, maybe about 6 inches or 12 inches or something, depending on how your elevation fell. So obviously it was, you know, below freezing for that. And prior to that, a few days ago, it was like -8 at one point in the night.
It's been in the negatives a lot this winter.
A couple few, I mean, maybe two or three times. It hasn't been a whole lot.
I just remember the first winter I moved here, it was... It hit negative numbers like once or twice, maybe three times. But here it's like you get a whole week where it's negative temperatures.
That hasn't happened yet.
It was 3 or 4 days in a row. And we've got several more coming up this weekend. So it hasn't been a whole day.
Usually you got to wait till February for the negatives or at least late January. But yeah, it's a little bit different this year. But that's how it always is. I didn't want to give a weather report so much as just say it's cold up here. And, you know, warm today was 36 degrees, right? So it was warm enough to where, you know, snow was melting. There was some slush around. And so I imagine Boston is probably pretty similar as far as its temperature is concerned. Maybe a little more moderate since it's right by the sea. But it's, I'm just going to say it's probably pretty darn cold in Boston as well.
I would imagine so. I mean, when I think about Boston and winter, I don't think about, you know, like California or San Diego or something. Yeah. I think about something along the lines of, you know, Boston in winter.
Yeah, today apparently it was like 37 degrees. So very similar.
About like Keene then?
Yeah, very similar to what it was here. Later this week, Boston will be experiencing 29 degree highs, 45 degree highs, 35 degree, and on Friday, 22. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because they now have an open window requirement in Boston schools, in Boston school classrooms. So
I know why, but is it because of COVID-19?
Of course it is.
So they're going to torture children by forcing them to be in a classroom with an open window in January.
That's right.
In Boston.
That's right.
In order to prevent them. Isn't this how people catch pneumonia? Or, you know, one of the ways that helps them to catch pneumonia?
You know what? I don't know a whole lot about pneumonia. I think you have to be wet for that to happen, but I could be wrong. Don't quote me on that. I'm certainly not a doctor. If you know a thing or two about pneumonia, you're welcome to give us a call here. But generally, you know, mom doesn't want you to stay out in the cold too long, right? Like, you can go out if you're properly dressed for it, but you probably shouldn't be spending 8 hours in the cold unless you're moving around, right? Like if you're out skiing or if you're climbing a mountain, like if you go out and you work out in the cold, then you're going to be taking clothes off because you're just going to get so hot. You'll be sweating like crazy. I mean, anybody that's done winter sports or climbed a mountain in the wintertime knows this. But sitting in a classroom is not physical activity. That is going to be quite uncomfortable for 8, 9, however many hours are in the school day. According
to, it's going to be significantly worse for the children who are actually like next to the window as well.
Yes, that's right.
So who's the bad kid that we're going to torture by putting them beside the open window today?
Students and teachers, according to BostonHerald.com in a report written a few days ago, will have to bundle up in their classrooms because of a Boston public school mandate that windows be kept open 4 inches to reduce the risk of COVID transmission. Now, I'm not sure how exactly they're going about expecting this is going to reduce any risk of COVID transmission. Why would it be?
I assume it's just air ventilation.
That's clearly what it's going to do. It is absolutely going to let all of the hot air out of the room.
It seems like it would be cheaper, you know, in the terms of letting all that heat out, to just install better ventilation systems.
Yeah,
I'm not an expert.
I'm not either, but I'm just going to say, if you're in close proximity with other human beings, you're going to likely transmit things to and from them. I mean, that's just, whether the window's open or not, I don't think is going to really make that big of a big of a difference.
Well, COVID's like hot air. It rises, so it'll just rush out that window, I guess, is... I don't know what they're thinking,
dude. That doesn't make any sense either. But here's what they had to say. Good morning, families. One school wrote to parents before their children headed off to class. Quote, it is still very cold. Remember, the windows in our classrooms have to be open. I suggest layering your child's clothes. Two pairs of pants, two shirts, and a sweater, two pairs of socks, etc. Plus all their outerwear, hat, glove, scarf, etc. So they literally are telling people... that it is going to be freezing cold in these classrooms. Are they also turning off the heat at the same time? You know, since if they had the heat on, it's just basically going to be pouring money out the windows, right? Like, although it would temper
the... Why not just have the classes outside at that point?
Yeah, I mean, it would temper the climate indoors somewhat if the heat was on. Maybe it wouldn't be freezing cold. I mean, they ultimately have to heat the building somewhat in order to keep the pipes from bursting, likely. So... it would be interesting to find out from someone, some poor child who's in the government school system in Boston who brought a thermometer to class and just tell us how cold it really is in there. Because I would not want to have my window open 4 inches around the clock.
No.
For 8 hours. I mean, it's one thing if you take a dump in the bathroom and you crack open the window for 30 minutes or 15 minutes. It's not going to be the end of the world. But 8 hours?
8 hours is intense.
In every room in the house, right? Now, this isn't just one classroom. Every classroom has to have, this says every window in this article, but the photo they're showing here, somebody took a picture from the Boston Herald of a government high school, it looks like, or some school, and you can see the two windows on the side of, there's three windows in the photo, only one of the three is cracked open 4 inches. So maybe it's not required that every single window be open, but regardless, this is nuts.
That is insane. Has there been any negative pushback to this?
Well, the advice has angered some parents. One parent tweeted out, quote, these are the notifications I get from a Boston public school in the 21st century. I hate this so much. How is my 4-year-old concentrate on learning, trying to keep warm? An adult has trouble in the cold. These kids are enduring so much. Well, here's a solution for you. Pull your kids out of the government school.
That's an easy solution as well.
I mean, how much worse? I did not see this coming.
When did public schooling start at the age of 4?
It's probably some sort of preschool, okay. or maybe maybe they're old enough to qualify for kindergarten at 4.
How are they supposed to write while holding mittens and while wearing mittens and gloves and stuff in the first place? Right?
It's absurd.
There's no way any just stop the nonsense and send them back home to do the Zoom classes or whatever. At least then the kids can be warm.
Yeah, it's crazy. At Wednesday night's school committee meeting, Samantha Laney, teacher at Holmes Elementary School in Dorchester, said she and her students have to keep their coats on in class because the windows are required to be open to circulate the air. She also said schools need COVID tests, quote, right away, unquote, and need more social workers, not only for students, but for teachers who are, quote, burned all the way out, she said.
Well, it might help if they didn't have to open their windows.
Mary DeBinga, a Boston Latin Academy teacher, told the school committee she started her day on a bus crowded with students with no social distancing because many school bus drivers aren't coming to work. She arrived in her 55-degree classroom, where she has two students with sickle cell anemia, one of the diseases that put people at greater risk of not only contracting COVID, but also dying. Well,
so that answers the question. They are turning the heat on still.
Yep.
But it's, you can't...
pumping it right out the window.
Yeah, 55 degrees in there. Your kids aren't learning anything.
8 hours a day in 55-degree temperatures. That's crazy. I tried this, by the way.
Conan would say that's nothing.
No, I know. And when I moved here to New Hampshire, I was, on a super, cheap kind of budget situation.
Sure.
And I didn't want to spend as much on heat. And so I tried living below 60 degrees in this house. And, I started to get some sort of a condition in my hand that was, swelling up. And it was not good at all. As soon as I turned the heat up to, closer to 70, that problem went away. So,
well, that's good at least.
Yeah. They're worried about people catching COVID. There's going to be some other health problems that come from sitting in 55-degree temperatures around the clock. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. This Free Talk Live. Phones are open. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. How would you like to work in 55-degree temperatures for 8 hours a day? Now, I mean, I understand there's some hard-working people out there who work outdoors in the wintertime, and I am grateful for those people. But they've chosen that for themselves, right? Like, if you've chosen to be in construction during the wintertime, or you're like one of those sign-holding people on the side of the road at a, you know, construction site or whatever, you know, you decided that you're going to accept the risks of freezing and potential hypothermia, losing body parts because of lack of circulation. And maybe you're really
good
outside.
Well, I assume they bundle up really, really well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And you get the hot hands or whatever, or some sort of a hand heater, or, you know, or maybe you've got really good circulation and you got no problem whatsoever. Like the, you know, the Iceman over in Norway, the guy that can stand outside with, you know, just nothing but a pair of boxers on and go take baths in the public park.
We call those people mentally ill here.
You know,
I've not heard of this guy.
Yeah, you have. We talked about him. Yeah, we talked about him a few weeks ago.
Is this the Wim Hof guy?
Yeah, Wim Hof.
Okay,
that's his name. His name's Wim Hof. But you know, so I think there is something to be said for being able to acclimate yourself to that. But that again is a choice that you have to make for yourself. These kids in these Boston schools that now have to sit in classrooms with open windows, they didn't make this choice. They are being forced into this situation because their parents are, I guess they
cowards.
Just don't care enough, right? Like their parents are. You're calling them cowards. Cowards. Maybe some of them are cowards. I mean, is it fear is the reason why parents don't take their kids from government school? Is that why?
What to an extent. I mean, in Massachusetts, it may be more difficult to pull your kids out of public school than
Could be.
Other places. I don't know. But it's a cowardice about changing their lives to not be reliant upon government in the first place, right?
Sure.
That's where the cowardice comes in, is that they could make changes to become more independent, to not have to be at work, you know, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week or whatever, actually spend time with their kids, or, you know, to make the responsible choice and not have children if you don't have, you know, 8 hours a day to dedicate to them, as most people don't, which is why most people shouldn't have kids, but they don't care and they did anyway because that's just what people are supposed to do, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. People are definitely afraid of change. And going from a situation in which someone just takes care of your kids for 8 hours a day, which is the government school situation.
The glorified daycare.
Yeah, to a situation in which you have to make choices for your kids' educational, you know, future. That is a bit of a change, right? Like that actually requires some level of responsibility.
And that probably does scare them as well, thinking, you know, they probably feel like they're not qualified for this. It's like, well, okay, you feel like you're not qualified to educate and raise your child. Why did you have one?
Well, that, but also, what makes you think that these people at this government school are somehow so brilliant? I mean, they're sitting there with the windows open in class.
True. They do seem to be pretty incompetent.
Doesn't seem real smart to me, but we're going to continue. Your thoughts are welcome here if you want to join us. As Jesus the Cynic points out in our Twitch chat room, he says, Boston taxes will go up because of the extra operational costs to heat the buildings. And he's absolutely right about that. The story over at the Boston Herald about this says that Boston Public Schools spokesbureaucrat said regarding the open window mandate that temperatures in school buildings have been adjusted to 76 degrees. So they have turned up the heat quite a bit, they say, to help combat
Good
the required
Lord.
Window ventilation.
Just shut the stupid window.
Yeah.
That is the most government thing ever, though. Okay, we don't know what to do, so we're going to mandate all of these windows have to be open in the middle of January. Oh, no, children are freezing to death. Let's turn up the heat
counteract.
And now, when the bill gets too high, they're going to have to raise taxes to pay for that nonsense.
I mean, I'm just going to guess they probably had it at around 68, 70 degrees because, I mean, you got a bunch of kids in a classroom. They're going to heat the classroom up to some extent. 70 is a pretty standard, you know, good temperature to heat to. I'm just guessing. So I'm guessing they raised it at least 6 degrees, if not more. In that case,
I don't know what they would have had it set at.
Bitcoin.com, by the way, the best source for learning about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. You can go there, click Get Started at the top of the page, learn about the basics of cryptocurrency. Right now, Bitcoin is At a lower price than it was a couple months ago. It had peaked up to around $68,000 per coin, and it is now around $42,000-$43,000. So still might be a good opportunity to jump into this thing, but you really ought to learn the basics first. So head over to Bitcoin.com, click Get Started. You can watch some introductory videos there. That's Bitcoin.com. And they do have their news site, which is news.bitcoin.com. So if you're not new to crypto and you want to get the latest news headlines, get over to news.bitcoin.com.
This story is just so amazing to me. I mean, we've all heard the saying about government breaking your leg and then handing you a crutch and then saying, oh, well, see, thank goodness for me, you can walk. That's exactly what this is. Opening the window, causing a problem, creating a problem, and then having to do something else that's equally stupid in order to fix that problem and say, hey, look, we tried. We turned the heat up to 76. We did everything we could.
Well, as you pointed out, who gets to sit next to the open window as well? Like, even if the heat's been turned up, it's still going to be uncomfortable there. And remember, 76 is just what they've put the thermostat at to try to combat. One of these teachers said it was a 55-degree classroom. So what's the reality, right? Like, there's the public statements that the Boston school public school bureaucracy is saying, oh, no, we set it to 76. But what's the real temperature in the classroom? And again, look, if you care about your kids, you should have had them out of the government schools before 2020. But 2020 should have been like the heads up, okay, now it's really time to go. And if you still kept them in throughout all of this, now they're going to freeze your kids out in the school classrooms. Like, how much more abuse can your kids take? How much more until you finally say, you know what, I'm going to actually spend some time on my own kids and figure out what to do and get them out of this system?
I imagine both of these statements about the temperature are true, depending on what the outside temperature is. On a day like today, of course, schools were closed today, so kids couldn't benefit. Where it's 35 to 40 degrees outside, 76-degree heat probably could have kept the room reasonably comfortable.
Maybe.
But when it was, 3 degrees or a high of 9 degrees,
right.
No, the temperature would have been probably in the low 50s or upper 40s.
Well, plus those heaters must be on constantly, right? Like, if you're...
Do they close the windows at night?
I'm not going to say I'm sure. I would hope that they do. But, I mean, as far as during their operating hours, when the kids are there, which is at least 8 hours a day, that heater's got to just be constantly cranking. I mean, if you open every single window in your house, even 4 inches, the heater cannot reach its desired temperature, right? Like, it's just going to keep on going because it's never going to get to where it's supposed to go.
No, it can't. Too much of the heat is seeping out through the open windows.
Anyway, if you want to weigh in here, 603-283-6160 is the number. That's not the only insane school-related story that we've got. Here's another one. This one is actually from New Hampshire, but it's being reported by the Boston Globe, written by Erica Cohen, who is apparently the chairperson of the school board in Derry, New Hampshire. That's a town that's, I guess, kind of near Manchester. Subheadline, police presence, threats of violence, open hostility. What happens to our schools if rancor overtakes our capacity to peaceably disagree?
Okay, so this is like threats of violence, like Sununu had threats of violence against some sort of thing, I'm assuming?
We'll see. So it's sort of like an opinion editorial by this person who is... Sounds like she's getting too scared to actually be on her school board, and in my opinion, that's a good thing. We'll talk about it on the way here and how it all happened. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like your country no longer holds your values? Have you dreamt of a place where liberty-minded people can come together and leave government overreach behind? There are many people just like you that are discovering FreePrivateCities.com. They start at FreePrivateCities.com and connect via the social media links shown there. All skills will be needed when the first of the Free Private Cities open. It's sooner than you think. Stop arguing and build FreePrivateCities.com. FreePrivateCities.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, we've got the opinions of some of the people who are against the idea of independence, because it's hard to get them to talk sometimes, as they feel like they don't have to really spend much time defending the status quo, because they're pretty certain it's going to stay that way. So why bother commenting?
I think they're wrong.
I hope you're right about that, Aria. We're going to get into it. It's Ian and Aria in the studio tonight. But first, we're still talking about some government school-related stuff. In Boston, apparently, they are requiring people keep, or government school rooms, keep their windows open. Now, not all the way, but still, 4 inches.
4 inches is, that's a lot.
It's enough to make it cold in there over a period of 8 hours. So, you know, you still got your kids in government school. You really need to ask yourself why. You really need to be honest with yourself about why you haven't done anything to help your kids get out of these indoctrination camps, because that was the number one reason to not be there in the first place, was that if you take them out of the government schools, then the government can't indoctrinate them with their propaganda as easily. So that would have been the old reason to do it. Now they're literally just torturing them. So,
and I mean, some of these parents, they seem to know that, like, hey, my 4-year-old, this is the kind of notice I get from the school. My 4-year-old's being subjected to this. Why? Why are you allowing your 4-year-old to be subjected to this?
It's time to stop. You can still, in most places in the United States, pull your kids out of government schools. Now, as you said, Aria, it might be more difficult in some places than it is in others, but still, there's, even in California, from what I understand, there's still a path out. So get them out. And better still, don't put them in the first place. If you're, you know, moving to a place, don't register them with the government school system. It's none of their damn business that you've got kids in that place. That's
what I would
do. Sadly,
I think in some states you have to.
Yeah, you might be right about that.
New Hampshire is not one of those places, as I understand it.
The number here is 603-283-6160. And then we go to the Derry School Board, Derry, New Hampshire, where Erica Cohen writes an article for the Boston Globe headline, "I chair the school board in Derry, New Hampshire, and I'm afraid." She says, "For a couple of days last fall, a viral video on Derry Facebook pages was a one-minute clip of a man telling the Derry school board that if we required everyone to get the, quote, genocide jab, unquote, we would be war criminals and should hang." As chairperson, I interrupted.
This hyperbole scares her? Okay, first of all, this didn't go viral, lady. I live here in New Hampshire, and this is the first I've ever heard about it.
Well, maybe it was viral in Derry, New Hampshire.
It may have gotten 70 whole views.
Yeah. As a chairperson, she says, I interrupted and asked the man to be polite. When he persisted, I told the AV guy to cut his mic. The man continued, calling me and my fellow board members Nazis and repeating that we should hang. The audience, who mostly shared the man's opposition to masks and vaccines and usually clapped for like-minded speakers, remained silent.
You cut his microphone because you didn't like what he was saying. He called you Nazis, and then you got upset.
That's right.
They oppressed his freedom of speech, right? They're public servants. They're supposed to be held accountable to people like him, even if they don't phrase things in the most polite of ways.
See, here's the thing. They want you to be polite to them. Mm. But what they tell you, now without actually saying this, is if you don't do what they say, they will take your house from you. They will take you, it doesn't matter if it's in the middle of wintertime. They will come to your house with armed agents, calling themselves the sheriff's department. And they will, at gunpoint, if necessary, forcibly remove you. They'll put you in handcuffs if you don't go, or shoot you if you don't go, or taser you, or whatever. And they will remove you.
Under
from
what
that
charges?
Premises. There's no charge. Well, if you resist it, then there will be charges of resisting arrest and that sort of thing. But the thing is called a tax sale. So whenever you don't pay property taxes, for whatever reason, you know, maybe you are upset that they're doing things in the government school system that you don't like, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to pay for this anymore. And so you don't pay the property tax bill.
Seems risky.
Or even a part of the property tax bill. They will send to you a notice after, you know, you are late. They'll say, you're late with the bill. You're going to get hit with an 8% per annum fee, and after 2 years, we will take your property from you. So you then have 2 years to make payments. I presume that means pay it in full, whatever it is they say that you owe. And by the way, property taxes in New Hampshire usually are like 60, 70, 75% goes to the schools. So if you don't pay property taxes, you are essentially not paying for the schools, and if, you know, whatever the other services are, that's, you know, the other 25% of it.
Which seems silly, because I can't imagine why people without children are being forced to pay for the public school system, whether they oppose
socialism.
Whether they oppose it for ideological reasons or not, as we do here on the show, mm-hmm. We still don't have kids. Why are we subsidizing the education of other people's children?
Well, because of socialism. I mean, because
clearly
people, if they have children, if only people with children had to pay for the government schools, I mean, imagine what it would cost them on their property tax bills.
Well, that's not my problem.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't want that.
Well, at that point, they would probably realize, hey, you know what? I think I probably can, if I'm not having to pay this massive school bill, I probably can afford to stay home and educate the child myself.
Yeah, they could. And the good news is that in New Hampshire, there's actually something called the Education Savings Account that just passed last year that is allowing parents essentially a reimbursement or some sort of a check from the government in order to buy things for in order to send their kids to either a private school or buy homeschooling curriculum, which is interesting.
I don't have kids, but can I have my money back?
Yeah, well, maybe you could sign up Osria.
That's true.
Your dog. But, you know, it's a step in the right direction. Obviously, the best solution would be to abolish government schools entirely and abolish the taxes that pay for them. But in the meanwhile, there's these stupid things called school boards. And these school board bureaucrats, these politicians that run for office in these low-paying positions, they're just little tyrants like every other politician. They wield whatever power they possibly can. So, again, this school board lady here is upset because somebody said that she's a war criminal. Somebody said that she should hang for forcing kids to get the jab.
Well, I will say the man is out of line. If he had kept up to date with New Hampshire News, he would know that the school board cannot mandate that children get vaccinated, at the very least.
That's true.
So that part...
That doesn't mean they're not Nazis, though.
That it doesn't. Yeah. But that little part of the conversation could have been skipped entirely, and he could have focused on other things that they were doing that were tyrannical.
That night, she says, my expression was steely. But the next day, in the district...
She cried herself to sleep.
In the district business administrator's office, I cried! You haven't read this story, right?
No.
Okay. Out of
But I know the type of person.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a walking stereotype of a snowflake, of a tyrant who wants to abuse other people. But
when it gets turned on her...
And this guy didn't even abuse her. Yeah. He just said some mean things to her.
Yeah. He's not going to steal her house.
No. He's not going to force her kids to do something.
Out of frustration, she says, anger and fear. The First Amendment gave that man the right to swear, to use lewd language, and even to make veiled threats. Okay, first of all, the First Amendment doesn't give you a right. The First Amendment supposedly respects your rights. The idea behind the Bill of Rights, whether you're talking about the New Hampshire Constitution, which also protects free speech, or the U.S. Government Constitution, is that they are supposed to recognize and respect and protect certain rights that already existed prior to those men writing that document. It says, okay, this is the instructions for forming this government, and our government is going to respect people's rights, and here are the rights specifically that will be respected. That's what they do. They don't give you the rights. But it's typical for people like this to believe that the founding documents also grant rights to people, and it's just not true.
It's silly how eager people are to jump at threats. Saying that something should happen to someone is not a threat. It's a wish. At worst, they're making a wish that something bad happens to you.
Yep, that's right.
A threat would be saying, I'm going to hang you, stating intent.
If that happened, then surely the police would have arrested that man.
Yeah, but he didn't. He said, you should be hanged as war criminals. Well, that doesn't mean he has any intention whatsoever of trying to hang you. In fact, it suggests otherwise. If he wanted to hang you, he would have said that.
We got more from the Snowflake School Board Chairperson. And that's on the way. If you want to join us, 603-283-6160, 603-283-6160. You know, I don't really generally like the idea of spending time at school board meetings because it's usually a total time waster. But if it's making them this uncomfortable, I might have to rethink my position on this. This is Free Talk Live. The number is 603-283-6160. Are school board members becoming so frustrated by the parents that are attending their school board meetings these days that they might actually quit their jobs?
Man, I hope so. But, you know, that's not how bureaucrats work. They'll just start bringing in more police and more police, and they'll start excluding the public, requiring some sort of system. I can't imagine what it would look like.
They can't really exclude people from a public meeting, though.
Not yet.
I mean, they'll
start holding them via Zoom or something shady like that.
That would be a way around it. Yeah, for sure. Don't give them any ideas, Arya.
They already had this idea, didn't they? Keene already tried it out.
Were they doing that with the school board here? It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, the city council did, didn't they?
Yeah, I think you're right about that for some time. But they're having in-person meetings again. Anyway, we're reading an article here. It's an opinion piece by a lady that her name is Erica Cohen, and she is frustrated as the chairperson of the school board in Derry, New Hampshire, because somebody said that she was a Nazi. Somebody told her in the meeting that she was a Nazi and that she should hang.
Was she behaving like a Nazi at the time?
I suspect they've been doing that. In fact, they've been talking about, you know, mandatory masks, and I imagine they are requiring masks. A lot of school boards, sadly, are still requiring that, even here in the so-called live free or die state, from what I understand. But as
it's
you
so weird. I don't think anyone has ever called me a Nazi. And that's probably that's right. because I don't do or say things that sound like things a Nazi would do or say.
Indeed. Well, let's go back to this little Nazi and what she has to say for herself. So she says she complains about this man who had spoken up at her meeting, and she says that she cried about it the next day in her district business administrator's office out of frustration, anger, and fear. She says the First Amendment gave that man a right to swear, to use lewd language, and even make veiled threats. And by the way, she cut his microphone when she was doing that. But she says,
what is the problem with using foul language?
They just don't like it. You know, okay. They want to have decorum at their meeting. They want their meetings to look respectable, right? They want everybody to be respectful. They want people to be polite because they don't want people to realize that you can speak to them this way. And that if you do, they really can't do a whole lot to you. Now, if they tell you to stop and then you don't, and then they tell the police to arrest you, then you catch a criminal charge. And they could probably hit you with like disorderly conduct or something like that. So it's not a perfect guarantee that you won't be arrested for this stuff.
It definitely doesn't seem disorderly, though. I mean, you have the microphone, right? You're allowed to speak.
Until they tell you you can't speak anymore.
Okay.
And they can make some arbitrary determination about that. So there's no perfect free speech system when it comes to speaking at these meetings. Ultimately, they are the ones in charge of the microphones. And if they want to take it away from you, they can, and then you would have to sue them later on. So it's not like there's no guarantee you won't be arrested for speaking up and standing your ground. But that said, she says, I would learn later from a lawyer for the New Hampshire School Boards Association that the man's use of the word if to preface his remarks about a vaccine mandate meant that I couldn't legally silence him, where he had said...
Oh, so she learned that she was in the wrong?
Yes. The lawyer advised me going forward to give people their 3 minutes and cut them off only when they exceed it. So
nice.
That's interesting.
She got put in her place and she's not happy about it.
But in the moment, the man's threat, veiled or otherwise, felt very real to me.
There was no threat, and surely there was a cop or deputy or something there.
Well, she said
holding a rope?
No.
then why was she scared?
Well, right. And again, it's the wording here. He says if they required kids to get the jab, that would make them war criminals and that they should hang. That doesn't mean that he would do the hanging.
Right.
Right.
That's just what you do to war criminals in general.
Yes.
Unless they're the president of the United States, in which case you give them a pass.
Over the next week, I repeatedly relived what had happened.
Oh, what a snowflake.
And thought about resigning.
She needs to do and think less.
Yes. Was serving as chair of my local school board worth withstanding such vitriol? Was it worth shaking in my car on my drive home from a meeting?
How old is this lady, and how does she make it to adulthood being this sensitive?
What kind of example was I setting for students if I didn't challenge such ugly speech? Hostilities rose.
Now, it's been a while since I was at a school board meeting, but I don't think I've ever been to a school board meeting.
They're awful. Just awful.
How many students are there at these things?
Almost none.
I wouldn't think so. That's sort of what I was getting at. Yeah. I remember going to some PTA meetings because I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
But never a school board meeting.
I remember going to PTA meetings as a kid and doing everything I could to not be inside the room. Right?
Yeah.
Like, we'd go hang out outside with the other kids, basically.
So the kids aren't even going to hear about this. And the example she's setting. And if they are, they're not going to care.
The only reason a student will be at the school board meeting is if there's something that they need from the school board. So, for instance, if the school board is voting on a budget for, you know, the sports department or whatever, and they might trot the football team in there to say, we need money. And then as soon as the school board votes for the money, then they all leave.
Yeah, because they have pot to smoke.
That's the only reason you'll see kids at a school board meeting. Going on. She says, hostilities rose markedly last August in the wake of meetings about school reopening plans. One indication of that was an SUV I saw parked in front of the Dairy Farmers Market that had, quote, defund the school board, unquote, written on the back windshield and unmask the kids scrawled on the side windows.
That's not hostile at all.
Seeing it, my daughter suggested I wear a hat and sunglasses, like a celebrity trying to evade public recognition. I wished I had something to hide behind. Instead, I was skittish and scanned the crowd as we shopped.
What a coward,
she literally
man.
Is acting like there's someone out to get her, like that someone's going to jump her
because
while she's
some
at the
cantankerous
farmer's market.
Old man yeah. called her a Nazi.
Oh, no. In this case, that's what started it.
True.
But in this case, because somebody had an SUV parked near the farmer's market.
And they wrote, defund the school board on the window.
So she thinks somebody's going to be lurking in the crowd at the farmer's market to jump her and, like, kill her or something like that. It's ridiculous paranoia. On the way home, I thought about resigning again.
I kept looking in my rearview mirror, and there were headlights there. And every time I took a right turn, they took a right turn. And then I realized, oh, yes, my husband was following me back. But I was still so terrified. So terrified.
So she's now thinking about resigning again after that non-incident, right? Like, all of that was in her
she's
head.
She's such a Republican, man. Like, she created this elaborate scenario in her head that was not in any way represented by reality. And then she got offended and upset about this imaginary scenario that she created and is now crying about it. That's a 100% a Republican thing to do.
Well, I don't know what her politics is, but I will guess that
she's a Democrat.
An abject statist. That's for damn sure. But yeah, that seems like the safe presumption. So I hope she will actually do the resigning, but she has more to say. She says, I'm not alone. Barrett Christina, executive director of the New Hampshire School Boards Association, told me about school board members in the Granite State whom law enforcement had escorted to their cars for safety. One board was contacted by the FBI because of threats made against individual members. Quote, some very good members and some people who are committed to public education have already resigned from their local school boards, she said. I've heard from some others who've said they do not intend to run again when their seat is up this coming March.
Good.
Now, that is fantastic news. And so, like I said, I am I'm going to reconsider my opinion here about attending these meetings. If you've got...
Might be time to run for school board if these people start resigning.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to be in these positions, unfortunately. Now, it is god-awful to be a school board member, from what I can tell. We used to run for these things here in Keene. We actually used to regularly go, not to their regular meetings, not to the every month or however often they have them, but they had a one meeting per year where they would vote on the budget, and the Free Staters, the Liberty people in Keene, would go to that meeting. But we were only ever like 10 people out of 90 or 100 people in the auditorium.
Yeah.
So we could never do anything except for maybe break a tie. And there were a few occasions, on rare occasion, that we would break a tie, and then we would stop them from like increasing the budget a little bit more than they already would have. But every time we were there, it was always, well, do we increase the budget by 5% or do we increase it by 4%? So there was never any kind of option to decrease the school budget. And whenever Conan, and it's too bad he's not here tonight, he may or may not be here tomorrow. He's got like some extra work to do, but he actually put forward these ballot measures, he would get the 25 signatures required to actually put them forward to the school board. And then what would happen...
And that's a lot of work.
I mean, it's not that hard to get 25 signatures. We've got a couple
doing it
dozen.
More than once, though. I mean, doing it like routinely.
Yeah, he did it every year for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And some of these ballot measures would have actually reduced the school board budget, among other things. But what would happen would be at this one meeting, which are attended, by the way, by almost all teachers... So, like, probably 70 of the 90 people in the room work for the school board. In these meetings, they would amend his proposals and completely gut them, change the wording completely, totally make the essentially neuter his proposals. And it made it completely worthless for him to bother with it. So, there's more coming up here, though. We'll share more of this lady's article. It's free talk.
Is your broken heart stopping you from being authentically happy? My name is Jeremy West, and for a limited time, I am running a free online class to teach you what most people don't know about how to deal with your feelings, the simple way to deal with your negative thinking, the key to breaking your unhealthy relationship patterns, and so much more. No more feeling like a failure who will never find true love. No more self-medicating and ending up feeling even more miserable. And no more feeling like you'll never be someone who deserves an amazing partner. Sound good? You'll discover a new way to finally feel validated and loved. To stop trying to get your self-worth from the very people who tear it down. And to put you in control of your own happiness so you never surrender that control to another person again in as little as 8 weeks. Register now for my free online class at beyondyourbreakup.com/free class. That's beyondyourbreakup.com/free class.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, you've got me, Ian.
Me, Bonnie.
And Arya.
And Bonnie, thanks for joining us here tonight. We were just talking, for those of you just tuning in, talking about an article in the Boston Globe, this by a school board chairperson in this town of Derry, New Hampshire, who is afraid, she says. She's frightened because somebody told her she was a Nazi if she forced people to get the jab, and said that would make her into a war criminal and that she should hang, she and the rest of the school board of Derry. She says that she considered quitting her job after that, and that she became so paranoid that during a farmer's market that she was attending, that she was frightened there because somebody had an SUV parked nearby with defund the school board and unmask the kids written on the windshield and the side windows. She said she was wishing she had something to hide behind while she was there. She was skittish and scanned the crowd.
This really surprises me, right? I don't think this guy who wrote this on his SUV probably would have recognized a school board member if he saw her in the farmer's market or where it was anyway.
I wouldn't know any of them. But then again, I don't go to the school board meetings in
but
the area.
This lady makes it out like she's a local celebrity or something. Yeah. Like she has to put on sunglasses and a scarf to go grocery shopping. Lady, you're a glorified bureaucrat in one of the most boring boards in the United States.
Yeah. I think that this is at least in part something to blame is that people think that their jobs can never be changed. And I've always thought that that was so weird. Like people who are like, we'll lose our jobs. Like you'll only have one job.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's like so part of people's identity. And it's always been weird to me because I'll just quit a job in 3 seconds if I don't like the way that the toilet paper is. Like quit a job.
There's a difference between a job and a career. Mm-hmm. And this lady has gone into the education field or the bureaucratic side of the education field as a career. So I'm sure she knew that she would lose this particular job at some point.
This isn't even a career.
Get a different job in the same, you know.
Wants to move up to the next one. What's beyond chair of the school board?
In the school?
Superintendent, maybe?
That's actually like a real job. So when you work for the school board, you're only getting like, I don't know, a couple thousand dollars a year in New Hampshire, at least. Now, in other places around the country, it may be a very lavish position with tens of thousands of dollars or I don't know. But in New Hampshire, you're probably not pulling down more than $2,000 to $5,000 a year, depending on whatever school board we're talking about. So it's a part-time job. And most of these people aren't intending to be school board members forever. It's just that they're members of the community and they feel like this is their how they can contribute to the quote unquote community. Most of them
be a volunteer. Go be a volunteer. I mean, what's $2,000 a year anyway?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost a volunteer position. She might think differently about it.
I wouldn't do it for $2,000 a year.
Yeah, if she were making $50,000, she might think a little differently about it. But she's willing to throw it away because it isn't that much to her, right? Like she's in this because
she's not. I mean, well, she's saying that she felt like she was threatened in public, yet she is only considering quitting her job, and that's a really big deal. It's like just quit your job if you don't like it.
Well, the reason why she's continuing is because in her mind, she's helping the students. She's helping the community. She's doing something. She's contributing, and she wants to continue in her position of power over the school system because she is someone who believes in government schooling. She believes fully in the government being in charge of schools, and she wants to do her part in mandating masks and mandating obedience and mandating and increasing the budget for the schools because she believes more money spent in government schools means better education, even though we've always seen that that's not true.
Then right, and change people's minds. Get the voters to change their mind.
She doesn't have to. She can just increase the budget. And there's nothing that the voters can do except for vote her out. But the problem is whoever they vote in is likely going to want to do the same exact thing.
Yeah, because that's the only type of person that ever runs.
Correct.
Keen aside,
yeah,
that's the only kind of person who ever runs for school board is someone who wants to glorify and hold up and inflate the public education system.
That generally true. Now, that's starting to change. There's a group in New Hampshire called Moms for Liberty. As I understand it, they have been some of the people that have been going to these school board meetings, and they're talking about running for school boards. But regardless, even if you get people on the school board, you can't abolish the school board from within. Okay, these things are created at the state level, from what I understand. So if we really want to get rid of government schools, it has to be done from the state level. You have to get enough people in the state legislature to propose to eliminate them entirely. And we're a long ways away from something like that happening. If you're on the school board, the minimum you can do is sort of like nibble around the edges. You might be able to reduce the budget if you had enough people on the school board. But as you say, Aria, most of the people running are a bunch of power freaks. And the other problem is the people that go out and they vote in these elections are also the politically connected. So if you think about it, your average person doesn't go to a municipal election, right? Like municipal being sure. City or town elections. You know, the turnout, like here in Keene, New Hampshire, it's like a tenth.
Oh, it was a joke. I don't even think there were 1,000 people.
You're going to cross the whole
city?
In
this last year, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the turnout's terrible. And you know who's going, right? The people who show up are the people who are knowledgeable for the most part. First of all, they have to know the election's happening. Number one, it's not like the presidential election where it's getting pounded everywhere and you can't avoid it. You know, you might see the signs on the side of the road, but you don't know what day the election is unless you specifically look for it, right? So you have to know it's happening. So the people who are politically connected are the ones who know it's happening. The ones, those political dogs that are constantly, you know, paying attention to who's who, and they know who Aria is, and they know who, you know, all the candidates are. And
that's definitely true of the municipal elections.
Right. Now think about it, of the school board, how much worse that one is, because it doesn't even happen. The school board meeting or the school board elections in New Hampshire don't generally happen, at least in Keene. I don't know, but I can't speak to the towns because they have different setups. We live in the quote-unquote city. So here they happen in March. So it's 6 months away or whatever, more than 6 months away from, you know, the last election or the next election in November.
I was not aware of that.
Yeah. So, like, so it's just not your typical election season. So the odds that even as many people show up to the school board elections as do the municipal election are even less. So who's showing up at a school board election? You better believe the teachers are.
Yep.
You better believe the school board members are. Everybody, you know, every janitor, every administrator at the school board, all the people who work and get paid by the system are the ones who are most likely to come out and vote. So you have to somehow outnumber those people. And that's no easy task.
No, because you have to make people aware that, hey, they're holding this election randomly in March and you right. should go to it. That's just a futile task, really.
It's tough. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's tough. And then you elect one person to the school board and then they're one vote out of 10 or 15 or whatever, and they can't do anything, right? They're the Ron Paul of the school board and they get nothing done. But let me go on, because she's not done with her bemoaning and bellyaching about having to hear freedom of speech, people saying things like, you're a Nazi. She says, I thought about resigning again. She said, I'm not alone.
Third time's a charm. All she has to do is think about it one more time, and we can get her out of office.
She says, I've heard from some others who say they don't intend to run again when their seat is coming up this March. Incivility in politics is not new, but incivility at school board meetings is. Years ago, when I worked as a local reporter in southwestern New Hampshire and covered local school board hearings, I was often the only attendee besides the school board members themselves, unless it was a budget hearing, which tended to generate a little more public interest.
That's why they were more civil, lady. It was only the school board there.
Right. They didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah.
Because the people weren't there to see it. They figured there's nothing they could do about it. Now they've figured out that they can at least call you out. Even though if there's nothing that they can actually do, they can at least use the public statements message portion where you get the 3 minutes to just speak their mind.
And this lady's sitting there going, this was a lot easier and a lot more civil before we let the public in here to tell us what they think about it.
The weirdest part about this to me is that she's a school board meeting groupie. And that's why she wants to be a school board star and thinks everybody's looking at her because she's part of the school board. She was voluntarily going to these when nobody else was.
That's right. And,
and reporting on them, like, yeah, you're right. She is obsessed with these things.
Well, she was a reporter. That's the reason she was there. She probably otherwise wouldn't have gone either.
I don't know.
It was her assignment.
The way she's painting herself, I'm starting to think that this lady just loves school boards for some reason.
Well, that much is definitely true. I mean, you have to in order to be a chairman of the school board.
True.
There's more coming up here at 603-283-6160. But yeah, you let people have comments and they say things you're not going to like. And if she quits her job, the world will be a better place. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join us here. Is it time that people start showing up at school board meetings and insulting and not threatening them, but calling them tyrants and telling them what should happen to tyrants?
You don't have to insult them. Just show up, state your opinion and why you feel that way or why you think that way, and these people will recoil at it. They, as this lady pointed out, they're not used to encountering any resistance.
Opposition. Yeah.
It's just the other school board members and teachers and stuff like that who always give a round of applause when they raise the budget by an additional 1.5% this year.
Now you've got people standing there saying, you're hurting me. You're forcing your way on our students, and you know you're forcing masks on them. You're forcing them into rooms with windows open, and we're sick of this. Stop it.
And this crazy lady almost literally said this used to be a lot more civil before we let the public come in here and tell us what they think.
Well, they had been letting the public in. It's
but
just
no one
ever
went.
Showed up.
Right.
And now they're showing up and she doesn't like it. So we're going to continue with the story. But also, we are raising funds for Give Directly. It's the first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people who are living in extreme poverty. And they locate recipients who are in need, like in the counties of Bemet and Kilifi counties in Kenya. And they use mobile money to send them cash with no strings attached. In the last decade, over Give Directly, they've delivered over $400 million to over a million people. And we're talking about serious poverty where you actually have to, you know, walk 5 miles to go and get some potable water. And really, seriously, poor folks. Anyway, the research shows that giving cash to people living in those situations can help drive a range of important positive changes in their lives, like employment, nutrition, health, and education. Plus, cash allows the individual to invest in what they need rather than relying on people thousands of miles away choosing for them. So if you agree, we do, and we want to help you out by donating, or rather matching your donations, up to $30,000 in total. You can go to give.freetalklive.com to help out some people that really need help there in Kenya. That's give.freetalklive.com for Give Directly. We continue here with this editorial piece by the frightened school board chair in Derry, New Hampshire. And I've always said, now I don't support threatening people.
No one has threatened this lady, though.
And no one has threatened her. They just said that if you force kids to get the jab, then you would be a Nazi and you would deserve what happened.
That's like if I'm walking down the street and someone says, hey, I hope you die. That's not threatening me.
That's true.
Just being a jerk.
Right. And so she's really upset by this. And as she points out here, it's because she says that she used to only be when she worked as a local reporter, she was the only attendee besides the school board members at these meetings, unless it was a budget hearing and then a few more people would show up. She says, the same was true in 2016 when I joined the Derry School Board. Our discussions focused on policy, building maintenance, and budgets. There was disagreement, but there was no name-calling. There certainly weren't people telling us that we should hang. Today, Google school board and violence, and you'll get a host of articles from national and local news outlets with headlines like, punch thrown at Connecticut school board meeting. Fight breaks out after school board votes in favor of mask mandate. Threats, violence, lead school boards to request FBI help, and it's like a time of war.
I personally don't condone violence, but it's just crazy to me that these people think that they can do things to people's kids and not expect anybody to hit them. Like, do negative things to people's kids.
Well, I think a better solution would be for these parents to pull their kids out of the school system instead of punching some school board member or something like that.
I know, but I agree with that, but it's just this lady thinks that her actions have no consequences and she can do whatever she wants.
She thinks she should be completely immune from anything that might occur because of whatever policies that they put together. And you're right, Bonnie. When you push people too far, they are going to snap. And again, we speak out against violence here a lot on Free Talk Live. Like, peace is the message of this show. But I understand how the human animal is. Like, you corner a human animal, you corner any animal, and it feels threatened, it is going to lash out. And these parents, they feel like you're threatening their kids, and they're going to lash out. And she's lucky that all that's happened to her is somebody said something she didn't like.
That's more like New Hampshire, though. It seems like an actual risk of violence at one of these school board meetings would be relatively low for New Hampshire.
There's probably people in that area or in that room that have guns. So any act of actual violence in that room would likely be put down real fast.
Because actions have consequences. Yeah.
But
just
that
like
said,
this lady's.
She's still afraid. And that's what's interesting here.
She's afraid of a boogeyman that she created in her own head. Of people stalking her around the grocery store and trying to hang her.
She says, I date the start of the incivility to March of 2020, when COVID shut down schools across the country.
No,
yes,
she did.
And people became frustrated and started speaking out. Yes, I would also mark that as the moment that this started.
She
when
says,
governments pushed too far.
As the tenor of the national debate over masks and later vaccines grew heated, the intensity and division trickled down to the local level. The hostility was abetted by a lack of clear guidance from the top. Here in New Hampshire, the Republican governor left the masking decision to local school boards, which put us squarely in the crosshairs of an angry, scared, and frustrated public.
Oh, so they just want to pass the buck to someone else who's not at all accountable.
Right. They wanted to say, oh, well, we're only doing what we're told, instead of actually making the policy.
You know who else said that? The Nazis.
The Nazis.
That's so weird.
Yep. School boards, she says, have two primary functions: to establish budgets and provide fiscal oversight, and to set and adopt policy. COVID made masks one of those policies.
No, COVID didn't. School boards did.
You did, lady. At hearings and meetings, we all heard the arguments against them. They were psychologically harmful to children. We had no right to make a medical decision and decide for parents that their kids should wear masks. The CDC peddles pseudoscience. Last August, audience
So she heard all those things, but...
And ignored them.
Ignored them. She is admitting that she remembers them, but she's choosing to ignore them.
I wanted to point that out, too. All of those things she just said are true.
Yes, they
The CDC is peddling pseudoscience and has been for a very long time. Masks are psychologically harmful to children. And I don't even remember what the other one was at this point, but it was a true statement as well.
But you see, they have a doctor, too, on the school board side. And he
is that my kid's doctor?
No.
Then I don't care what that doctor has to say. That doctor isn't responsible for my kid's health.
Last August, audience members repeatedly interrupted a doctor advising our district, mocking him as he spoke. Some opposed to masks stood directly behind the chairs of those who favored masks in what I assume was a bid to unnerve their opponents.
But when other doctors who have different opinions go up and speak and aren't the chosen doctor by the school board, then the school board just ignores them.
Well, then they only get 3 minutes, right? As we saw in the Keene City Council mask mandate hearing, which you can watch the full video on the Free Keene Odyssey channel at video.freekeene.com if you would like to see this. They had the administrator, doctor, or whatever, from the hospital, like the top dog doctor.
The one who gets money every time COVID patients come into his hospital.
Yeah, that guy. He was the one who got to spend at least a half an hour, 25 minutes to a half an hour, speaking and being asked questions by the city council. And then everybody else was limited to 3 minutes. So,
this lady said that the people who were against masks sat behind the people who were for masks in order to unnerve them.
They stood behind those chairs.
I've still never been unnerved by someone standing behind me while I'm seated.
What are they going to do? Cut their throats? You know, what are you worried about?
In this lady's imaginary hellscape world, they just might.
Hang them, yeah.
The number here is 603-283-6160. She's not done yet, though. She's got more to complain about in her job as a school board minister, the top chairperson. The number 603-283-6160. Do you want to weigh in on this? Do you think that this is a good tactic to scare these people out of their jobs? It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com. This is Free Talk Live, and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
And, of course, you can bring up whatever's on your mind. We are talking about some school board bureaucrats, politicians that are feeling scared now because the average person who they've been telling how to live and telling their kids what they have to do in the last couple of years has finally decided to start showing up at their meetings. Whereas normally these school board meetings, as this lady points out, and it's not unusual what she's saying, prior to COVID and the restrictions that came from these school boards during COVID, prior to that, almost no one ever went to these meetings unless they were advocating to get something. Unless they were looking for the school board to do them or their favorite teacher or department a favor, and then they'd always leave as soon as that section of the meeting was done.
Well, keep in mind that I hate this mentality in the first place, right? But the school board was always one of those government institutions that never really drew a lot of attention to itself. It always just kept doing whatever it's supposed to do. It always grew its budget. It always got the teachers the supplies they needed. I mean, it was just one of the most innocuous governmental institutions there were.
And unstoppable. I mean, like you said, the budgets always grow. You can't stop it.
And then COVID happened, and they started doing a lot of objectionable things, like requiring mask mandates, requiring schools to have their windows open in the middle of January in Boston.
Yep.
So it was understandable that, oh, this institution that just does these totally normal things for the last five decades, now they've lost their minds and they're doing things that we actually don't approve of. It's time to go speak out against it.
So, we continue here with a story from BostonGlobe.com. Erica Cohen writes, as the chairperson of the school board in Derry, New Hampshire, she says she's afraid and she's considering quitting her job as chair of the school board because people who are now passionate are coming in and speaking at her meetings, and she doesn't like it because people are not being nice.
I don't have kids, but I have a dog. Imagine if I got everybody in the neighborhood, except for like this one family, to vote for me to be the dog board member. And I just started making rules for everyone else's dogs. And when they didn't like it and they came up to me and said, hey, you can't tell me and my dog has to be in a cage all day. I was just shocked.
Yes, I can. You elected me.
Yes, I can. And I was just shocked that they were mad at me and saying that I was acting like a Nazi. That's no different than what's happening here.
I like this because I like that the actions of these bureaucrats are finally resulting in consequences. Mind you, not real consequences like her actually being harmed, and I don't think that violence is the solution, or something bad happening to her car, you know, tires being slashed or whatever. I don't think those are the answers, but I'll tell you what, you keep effing with people's kids and it's going to get closer and closer to things like that happening. But right now, it's just people saying things to her. And I have always been in favor of telling bureaucrats, including the police, how you feel about what they're doing. Like, I've done this for years. And I've taken heat for it, too. Like, oh, you should be nicer. No, I shouldn't. Not if they're destroying someone's life. Okay? If you're actually harming another peaceful person, whether it's arresting a...
Which is what police do.
Regularly. Whether it's arresting a college student for walking down the street with an open container, or whether it's raiding with the DEA, the local head shop here on Main Street back in 2014, and ruining that person's business. I had a lot of choice words for those bureaucrats in those situations, and I let them know how I felt about it. And if more people told the police and school board members and city councilors how they really felt about them whenever they saw them on the streets and shamed them for being little tyrants, not threatening them, but just shaming them, letting them know that it's not appreciated what they do, and that they're not, we don't need them to do the things that they're doing, and then they should quit their jobs. This lady said twice in this article that she has considered quitting her job. This is having an effect.
And she said other people are considering it.
She said not only are they considering it, other people she knows, but other people have quit their jobs over this. And we've seen people in the state house quit their jobs here in New Hampshire. And we've seen people actually leave New Hampshire entirely, who are some of the worst status in New Hampshire. They've moved out.
Good.
Yeah. So I think this is a very important
tactic. They should go to Boston, where they let their kids be educated in 54-degree temperatures.
Right. Hey, it's all about safety.
It is. I mean, they'll get pneumonia and die, but...
At least it wasn't from COVID.
Right. They didn't die from COVID. They're not just a statistic anymore. They were intentionally, one might even almost say deliberately sacrificed.
She goes on. She says, on the other side, equally passionate parents told us that masks kept their young children, who are not yet eligible for the vaccine, safe. Regardless, someone was always angry, and the board was always on the receiving end of their ire. As school board meetings across the country have become battlegrounds, many boards...
Lady, this is politics. Has she not seen the United States for the last, 20 years? It's increasingly hostile toward one another. Republicans and Democrats, no matter which side of the aisle you're on, or no matter which side of an issue you're on, whoever is against you passionately hates you and is always coming just short of making death threats against you. That's how politics works in the United States these days.
As far as the new normal is concerned, I like this one. I like this version of it where people are mad at politicians and mad at school board members.
Yeah.
That's one benefit that's come out of all this insanity.
They're not understanding that the solution here is to stop trying to force the other side to obey.
That's true.
To just say, okay, you know, this isn't working out. I'm going to go here and do my thing. You go over there and do your thing.
Yeah. No, the solution is to vote for the person that will do the thing they want.
Yeah, and that you guys are right. That is absolutely the problem here. These people don't know what the actual solution is. But that's where people like us can come into play.
True.
And that's where being in a place like New Hampshire makes a difference, because free staters, people who've moved here as part of the migration of libertarian activists, can start going to these places and talking to these people, talking to the audience members, and telling them, like, look, the solution is this. The solution is to pull your kids out of the government schools. The solution is to contact your representatives and tell them, we don't want government schools anymore. Stop forcing viewpoints about what kids ought to learn and what kids ought to do and what they ought to, you know, inject out of the government. It should not be at all an option. But she goes on. So she's talking about how school boards are now battlegrounds. Many boards, she says, including mine, have brought in police to quell the anger, because that always helps.
Yes, bringing in armed thugs is sure to ease the tension.
Her friend Christina says, this is the lady who is the head of the School Boards Association in New Hampshire, says such police presence at local school boards in New Hampshire was uncommon before COVID, but it is common now. I can tell you, they brought them into the Keene School Board 10 years ago when we were active there. So it's not that uncommon as long as people show up and have something to say.
There aren't many, you know, activists more peaceful than libertarians. So
That's
if they
right.
brought in cops in for that, it's not because people are making threats at them or anything like that. It's because people are disagreeing with them.
Yep, they want
and
control.
That terrifies them.
She says, and in a state where it's legal to carry a gun with a permit.
Oh, she's definitely without a permit.
That means
correction.
She can carry a gun.
That's true. Yeah, you can do it without a permit. But she doesn't know that, apparently. She says,
definitely a Democrat.
I have often recognized the bulge of a handgun on the waist of an angry anti-masker.
Why'd she use the word bulge?
Or let the crowd drive away before walking to my car. I feel better knowing there is police backup, even as I lament that this is what it's come to.
You don't need the police. You have plenty of people there who are armed, who are going to keep you safe, lady.
Michelle Holt Shannon, the director and co-founder of NH Listens, a civic engagement initiative of the Carsey School of Public Policy at the University of New Hampshire, says, quote, there are people who just don't want to talk. They just want to block what's happening because they don't want it to happen. That is not new, she said. Her group works with up to 40 groups and communities a year to increase constructive public engagement. She says, the thing that feels different for me is the fear. Because of what has been happening in the past couple of years, the fear of people hurting other people is higher and real. Unquote.
The lady, I feel like all of that was a lot of, like, just words that didn't mean anything. So I'm not really sure what the last few things you were talking about were. Like, what is NH Listens?
It's some bureaucracy or whatever that, I mean, it's privately funded, it sounds like. Well, I mean, not if you consider the University of New Hampshire a government school, which it is. So a government school funded engagement initiative, which wants to increase constructive public engagement. So they advocate for people to be nice, basically. They advocate for people to get involved in
being
the system.
Being mean can be constructive.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, especially when you're dealing with tyrants.
Yeah. They don't understand being nice.
They don't care what you
please
think.
Please stop. If it's not terribly inconvenient, can you please stop restricting my rights? Please?
They refuse.
Of course they refuse. They get off on restricting people's rights. That's why they do what they do.
All right, so there's more. She gets into critical race theory coming up because she's mad about that too.
A lot of people just don't want to change the way they are until they're shamed. So, yep. I mean, I don't want to say bullied, but a lot of people, you know, they don't want to stop doing what they're doing until they realize it's unpopular.
That's right. 603-283-6160. And in these people's cases, hopefully they will just leave because they're not likely to change. More coming up. Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us here. School board members are frustrated because people are actually speaking out. People are actually going to their god-awful meetings and using the public speaking time, you know, where you get like 3 minutes to say whatever you want. To say whatever they want to these government bureaucrats and politicians.
To say.
Yes. Yes.
Not to do, but to say whatever they want.
And they are so frustrated. They're so scared. There's a whole lengthy editorial piece at the Boston Globe by a woman who is the chairperson of the school board of Derry, New Hampshire, and she talks about how she has considered quitting her position on more than one occasion in the last couple of years just because of the frustrated parents that have been showing up and expressing themselves, and she's mad about it.
Now, I'm of the mindset that, you know, she didn't frustrate these parents. These parents frustrated themselves. They chose to be frustrated as a reaction to, you know, what this lady did. However, as a rule of just being pragmatic, stop making them frustrated then.
Yeah.
And they won't be frustrated.
Stop forcing masks on their kids. Stop talking about, mandating vaccines and all these other stupid policies.
Carry on as normal. And if the parents don't think you're keeping their kids safe, tell them to keep them at home.
Now, of course, as you've pointed out, the correct solution for parents is to get them the hell out of the government schools rather than fighting forever in school boards, because the amount of time that you'll spend fighting in these futile battles on these school boards, you could be doing other things that are actually good for your kids, like, I don't know, reading a book with them.
Yeah, I do have a little less sympathy for the parents now that they have these vouchers in New Hampshire where they can't just say, oh, I can't afford to homeschool my kid, well, or, you know, whatever it is. Send their kid to a different school.
Well, to be fair, the vouchers are new as of like last summer, so they haven't even been around for a year yet, as I understand it. And probably not all parents know that they exist, right? Hmm. Like the school boards are against the vouchers generally. Yeah. So
obviously.
So they're
the
not
Democrats are crazy against the vouchers.
Yeah, they're like, not going to send a note home with the kids, right, to let them know about this. It's
I'm
be
curious, why are Democrats against the vouchers?
Because it takes power away from the government schools.
I know, but that's not the reason they're going to give, is it?
No, of course not.
It doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. You are giving people money to get their kids educated. And you're supposed to be pro-education if you're a Democrat. It's only that
they
aren't getting educated
the
way that they want people to get educated.
They want their curriculum to be the one that shoved down these kids' throats. And if it's money that's going home to the parents and then the parents get to decide the curriculum, then that takes them out of the system. It takes them out of the indoctrination. And
right, I understand that, but they can't tell people that. They can't say, look, we're against this because we want to indoctrinate and brainwash your kids.
Sure. I think what I've seen them saying about it is that it hurts the public schools.
Yes, because they're the inferior choice. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the problem.
If they're the better choice, then people would just keep choosing to send their kids there.
It hurts the government schools' budgets, therefore it hurts the teachers, and so they focus on the financial aspects of it. And therefore, since there's less money or fewer dollars going to the government schools, therefore those kids that are in there are going to suffer.
Yeah, but those kids' parents now have a voucher to be able to choose to send their kids somewhere else, so it doesn't make any sense to me. I would understand.
No.
I wouldn't say that I would understand. As in, I would agree, but I would think that their reasoning kind of made sense if it was somehow making it to where there was a percentage of kids that still had to go to public schools, and then the public schools were getting less money. Maybe they could say, oh, these kids who still have to go to public school, they're public school is now crappier. But there aren't kids that have to go to public schools now with the vouchers.
I think that there might be some kind of limitation on the voucher budget or something like that. I'm not sure how all that works. So it may not be that it's unlimited as far as all the children can opt to do that. Plus, we know that parents, in a lot of cases, pay no attention to their kids' schooling, so there's always going to be, you know, some percentage of parents that are completely ignorant and don't care and just want to send their kids away.
That's horrifying in its own right. Mm-hmm. That someone could be trying to raise a child and pay no attention to their education, giving it no thought whatsoever. I'm going to send you to this place for 8 hours a day. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know who's in charge there. I don't know what's happening, and I don't care.
But those people existing is the excuse for the government schools, right? So the government school people, they say, oh, well, some parents, they don't care about their kids. So
public school didn't make that parent any less ignorant and stupid. So why do they think it's going to do anything better for the kid?
The
kid would probably be better out there on the streets fending for themselves.
Well, originally it was just some guy in Massachusetts, I can't remember his name, that started saying we needed public schools because otherwise the stupid Irish people, he said, would be teaching their own kids, and they were too stupid to do so. That's what he said.
There's a real ugly history behind the government school system, and the points you guys are making are correct. But the statements that these bureaucrats and teachers and, you know, school board members are making against the vouchers and in favor of the government system as is, you're right. They are completely baseless. They are just top level. It's easy to crack through them. A little bit of digging is going to discover the truth and completely throw these points into question. But the average person doesn't do that stuff. The average person just sees the comment in the newspaper and says, oh, well, these vouchers are hurting the kids in the government schools. We can't have that.
The solution would only be to make it to where more kids have access to the vouchers, either by getting the word out or giving more, you know.
I mean, if a person reading a newspaper can't draw a line between people being given a choice to not put their kids in the government school system is going to destroy the government school system to, therefore, the government school system is the most inferior choice. If they don't have the intellect to make that series of connections, then Darwin failed us.
Well, the government gang.
That's not even a huge logical step to make. If the reason they're so bad, these school vouchers, is because people are going to choose to not put their kids in government schools, there's no other solution. There's no other conclusion you can come to except, well, that's because government schools suck.
That's right. I think a lot of people know that government schools suck. But, I don't know, there's just so much propaganda out there.
I mean, everybody has to know that. There's always, you know, jokes like, oh, I went to public school. Haha, I don't know. I went to public school.
And what student that you grew up with didn't ever at some point say, school sucks? I mean, it's common, right? Like, people
school
know
does
that.
Suck. Yeah. It's horrible. The worst experience of my life. 0 out of 10. Would not
That's
recommend.
That's because it's run by the state. You don't have any competition. You don't get to find out what the market would actually bring to education.
But I loved learning as a kid, so it didn't suck in that respect because I liked to learn. I was homeschooled for the first 4 years or something.
That's a key difference.
It just wasn't the same.
Learning is good. Education is good.
And fun. Kids love learning.
Government sucks. It's only fun to learn when you want to. It's only fun to learn when you're actually interested in the thing. Well, not when they shove it down your throat because somebody said everybody has to take X, Y, and Z classes.
Well, one of the first things that government schools do is they stamp out that kids love to learn.
That's
make learning into something that is miserable and unfun, and homework and testing, the number one ways they use to do that.
Yep.
Let me go on with this lady. This is, again, the chairperson of the Derry, New Hampshire School Board. She says, the trouble on school boards isn't only about how best to protect our kids from COVID. Critical race theory has also become a factor. CRT is not taught in our pre-K through 8th grade school system, but that hasn't mattered. In 2021, as CRT, which contends, among other things, that racism is embedded in legal systems and policy, became a stand-in for the conservative case against liberals, outrage over it spread to local school boards. I first heard about critical race theory in a candidate forum before Derry's school board elections last March. The candidates expressing outrage over CRT and masks didn't win seats on the board, but there's reason to believe they'll have better chances this year. For one thing, last July, conservatives and libertarians in New Hampshire passed so-called divisive concepts legislation, which makes it illegal statewide to teach school children that one group is inherently superior or inferior or inherently racist or sexist.
And she's against that?
What is wrong with that? It's a law that says you can't teach people
racism.
To be racist.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, I don't think that critical race theory is something I would teach my kids if I had kids, but her solution is actually fixed by school choice.
Where people can send their kids to the school that does teach whatever they want.
Yeah, if public schools just decided they all are going to teach critical race theory, well, just give people more school choice.
That's one point that she doesn't, probably she's not aware of, but the legislation she's talking about does not affect private schools.
Right.
So it only affects government school teachers. They're the ones who aren't allowed in New Hampshire to teach critical race theory, so-called, or anything that, again, teaches one group is inherently superior or inferior to another. That's prohibited from government schools. So if you want your kids to learn about racism, you know, as far as you want them to become racists or whatever, find a school that'll teach that stuff. And that's not prohibited if you want to send them to a private school.
This might be really out there, but you could also just teach it to them yourself.
Indeed.
But they don't know what critical race theory is. They just heard it on Fox News and they got upset about it because it sounds threatening. And then the Democrats, who also don't know what it is, rushed to defend it because it was making the Republicans unhappy. Neither one of these sides have any idea what critical race theory is. I guarantee this lady, that's not what comes up when you look at critical race theory, even its very own Wikipedia page. I know that because we looked into it on the show. Yeah. That isn't what it teaches. It would be great if that was what critical race theory teaches.
Hmm. By the way, in the next sentence, she actually brings up the group I mentioned earlier, Moms for Liberty. And she complains that the conservatives and libertarians are organized. So, again, this is a real endorsement for the libertarian movement here in New Hampshire. The fact that she's even mentioning the libertarians as opposition, as worthy of mention.
Hey, but Gary Johnson got 2.4%.
Okay. He's not really a libertarian, though. More coming up. Free Talk Live. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project, and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
You can help more people hear the message of liberty by joining Free Talk Live's AMPS program on Patreon for as little as $5 a month. And you'll get access to special perks. Visit amps.freetalklive.com, amps.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Kicking off the third hour of the program here. You can join us. You can take control of the airwaves. Bring up whatever's on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria.
We've been sharing a really just pathetic article by a school board chairperson from the town of Derry, New Hampshire. Her name is, I want to give her full credit, Erica Cohen. Erica with a K. Erica Cohen. And she is frightened. Because people have been showing up for once at her meetings, because they didn't used to, because no one really cares about school boards generally. But once the school board started shoving masks down kids' throats and all other ridiculous mandates, the parents actually started to take an interest in what the school board was doing, and they started showing up, and they started saying things on open mic, you know, the little mic time that they give you. I think they usually, in New Hampshire, they'll give you time at the beginning and the end. So even if you're late to the school board meeting, you miss like the initial open mic phase, you can still speak at the very end of the meeting. At least that's how they did it here in Keene, New Hampshire. And so people were saying things that this lady didn't like. They would say things like call her a Nazi and say that if they force the quote genocide jab unquote on the kids, that would make them Nazis and that they should hang.
I like that name for it. I mean, there's no evidence or anything to back up that name for the COVID-19 vaccination. It's funny, though.
And sure.
Maybe one, I hope not, but maybe one day there will be evidence to call it the genocide jab. But the guy clearly was using hyperbole in order to make his point. And it's kind of the most terrifying part of all of this to me is that a school board director, school board chair, didn't have the ability to reason and say, okay, this person's passionate, they're being hyperbolic, they don't actually mean any harm to me.
No, instead they ask for police escort out to their car regularly now from the school board meeting. She wants to hide when she's in public.
This lady she should just stay out of public and stop messing with other people's lives.
Yeah, exactly.
What an ivory tower this lady must live in. If this is what it takes to break her, is someone calling her a Nazi? And she's like, oh, I have to delete all of my social media now.
Mm-hmm. I found what she looks like online.
I will never be able to handle this level of trauma. Democrats, man, and their ivory towers. I don't know what else to say.
Well, there's more that she has to say. We're in the final portion of this lengthy screed about how frightened this woman is and how she wants to quit her job. And I think she should. And I think all control freaks should quit their government jobs. And I hope they should all be made as uncomfortable as this woman, because that's what needs to happen. These jobs do not pay well, at least here in New Hampshire. And these people, including the state reps, will think twice about running for office again. You know, once their term comes up, it's like, this ain't worth it. It isn't worth it. I mean, she's making maybe $2,000 a year as a school board member. The average state rep is pulling in $100 a year plus a gas stipend. So a lot of these people, they're just going to say, you know what? I'm not a professional at this. This is not worth my time if people are going to hate me and I'm going to be belittled when I go to the grocery store or whatever. And that's what needs to happen.
Yeah,
people need to belittle them.
I can't imagine why anyone becomes a state rep. Except if they live outside of Concord, except because, you know, they're really interested and they want to change politics the political system.
Yeah. And I'm grateful for the ones that actually care about liberty, because we do have a good crew of liberty loving people. We were actually just talking during the break about the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance and some of the great work that they're doing here. Their website, nhliberty.org, and they will actually look at all the bills, or as many of the hundreds of bills that there are as they can, and they'll rate them based on whether they're pro-freedom or not, and they give recommendations to the state reps. But we've got enough liberty reps that we can break any tie. There's literally 40-something free staters who are state representatives here in New Hampshire. That's a tenth of the legislature. So if there's a close vote, you want the free staters on your side, or you're going to lose.
That's true.
Right? And it has made a difference in a lot of cases for the better already. Anyway, let me go on with what this lady says, because her next complaint is about how well organized we are. She says, for another, the conservatives and libertarians are organized. Moms for Liberty NH fundraised an online CRT bounty to be awarded to anyone who reports a teacher who violates the new divisive concepts law. And again, for
her
listeners,
being annoyed about people she disagrees with organizing just explodes the idea that Democrats are all for democracy.
Oh, yeah. They don't want you involved in the system. Like she said earlier, she liked the meetings better when people didn't show up and they could just do it without an audience at all.
And was it the Moms for Liberty thing? Something like, if you could get video of a parent, of a teacher breaking the rules?
That's right. Yeah, they'd pay you $500 cash.
Yeah, it wasn't just, oh, if you could. I don't remember how she phrased it, but it would have been very difficult for a teenager to do. And a teacher would have had to actually been breaking the law in order for it to happen.
But the idea is that they might be breaking the law, and so if somebody can get proof of it, then there's a bounty, which is pretty cool.
What issue does this rule of law Democratic lady have with this?
It shines light on their activities.
So she's okay with people breaking the law as long as no one else finds out about it?
Well, she's not going to say that. But she's mad that this exists, so you can draw your own conclusions from that. She says some parents more closely scrutinize the goings-on in their children's virtual classrooms. Oh my God! Parents actually paid attention to what was happening in virtual class because they were actually there to do it? The parents were nearby, so they listened in?
Sounds like an improvement to me.
Yeah, and were surprised? She says each time school went remote and parents saw or heard something they didn't like, they came to school board meetings in greater numbers.
Nice.
So it turns out when parents actually pay attention to what goes on in school, they don't like it.
I'm not surprised to hear that at all.
In addition,
because kids aren't telling their parents what they're learning at school. Like we talked about the ones in, I think, New York City who had to eat their lunch outside.
Yeah, in 30-degree weather.
And it was like December then, and the parents had no idea this was even happening.
Yeah, elementary school kids were doing that there. In addition, she says, the 603 Alliance, their tagline, quote, uniting conservatives for a better America, unquote, trains people to speak at meetings and run for their local school board. Nationally, the 1776 Project PAC explicitly endorses candidates who oppose critical race theory. Most school boards are officially nonpartisan, but the culture wars are changing that. School board election turnout in Derry averaged under 7% of eligible voters over the last decade. Such low numbers mean a strong turnout by one group can sway the vote. She says, I first ran for my local school board after a friend and I convinced the board.
So she's concerned that more people participating in the democratic system is a threat to the democratic system?
It's a threat to her power. It's a threat to this system as it stands.
Yeah, the way that the system's always gone.
So if your system requires only 7% of the population to be there to vote for it, maybe you should stop being so secretive and anti-accountability.
She finally wraps up her piece here. She says, I first ran for my local school board after a friend and I convinced the board to add another teacher to our son's grade because classes had as many as 27 students. I like the idea of improving education. Why am I still here withstanding so much hostility? Because the hostility isn't actually about education, and because we teach students to stand up for themselves respectfully, and someone needs to stand up for them. So it's the parents, so
the parents
who are against
are.
The students, according to her.
Parents are standing up for the students who don't want to, you know, be forced to wear crap on their faces or learn about how their parents are racist and ruining society.
But she believes she's the one standing up for the students and the parents are in the wrong. She says, what I fear most is that community participation will become the domain of those who seek conflict or who hold an anti-mask, anti-vax viewpoint. For the conflict averse, going to a meeting in today's hostile climate is deeply uncomfortable, and running for office is out of the question. And the next school board election in my town is in March.
Good lady, don't run again. If it's then just don't do it. If it's making you so miserable, don't do it.
I love this. I want to encourage more people who love freedom to move to New Hampshire. And if for whatever reason you love to torture yourself, go to these school board meetings and, you know, go in a group. Because if you're there alone, it's almost completely meaningless. But if you are there in a group, then you can actually have some kind of an influence. Not that you're going to change their minds. Like, not by
you might make them resign.
Right. Not by your logic will you change their minds. But if you make them uncomfortable enough with their jobs, they might just call it quits.
This whole article was an advertisement for the way that the Free State Project is changing things here and also all the little groups.
Absolutely. And
that she mentioned.
You're absolutely right, Bonnie. This is making a difference to have people who believe of a like mindset working together in the same geographic area. That's absolutely why this is working. And we'll talk more about that coming up here. And you can share your thoughts as well on Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Yeah! It is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open here if you want to join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
And Bonnie.
And Aria.
We're talking about some of the interesting things happening here in New Hampshire. Largely, I will say, thanks to the libertarian migration of freedom-loving people who have been coming here. Bonnie, you're one of the newer movers. You moved last year, almost a year ago, actually.
Yeah, just a couple of days.
Yep. And Aria, 3 years? Four, almost?
Three and a half at this point, yeah.
3.5 years for you.
Oh, no more. Wait, 3.5's good enough.
I've been here for 15, coming up on 16 years later this year. So it's been great being here with people who actually care about liberty. People who understand the non-aggression principle, people who might describe themselves as libertarians or voluntarists or liberty-loving anarchists, because having numbers is something we've never had. It's something that libertarians cannot imagine anywhere else.
That was what I was getting at with my Gary Johnson joke. I didn't have time to elaborate because we were going out to break. A really bad time to make a joke like that, but the libertarians who are fixated on the presidential election and the national LP, I don't know how to reach them about how much time and energy they're wasting when they could just come to New Hampshire and actually do stuff and see stuff change.
I remember Gary Johnson came out with this video like only a week before the election, or maybe like 2 weeks before the election, when I had already decided I was going to vote for Trump. I don't know if you guys know that about me, but I was just like, I just can't let Hillary Clinton win. She's too bad. I was about to vote for Gary Johnson. The whole time I was telling everyone to vote for Gary Johnson. And then like 2 weeks before the election, I was like, I'm terrified of Hillary Clinton and I have to vote for Trump, or else, which doesn't even make any sense.
If it makes you feel any better, our votes don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. I was voting in Utah. It's not like they weren't going to vote for Trump. They were definitely going to vote for Trump. But anyways, I remember Gary Johnson came out with this video that was explaining to people, it should have been targeted at people like me, but it didn't work on me. If you're saying that you don't want to vote for me because I'm third party and I won't win, I can't really remember.
I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, sure. You know, if people won't vote for Gary Johnson because they're convinced a third party candidate won't win, then nobody votes for Gary Johnson and a third party candidate never wins. That said, dude, there are so many better ways. Take the whole, not even the whole National Libertarian Party membership, just take 10% of them.
Mm-hmm.
Plop them in New Hampshire, and you'll see freedom actually happen in your lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm with you on this, Aria. It is hard to convince people who are libertarians in other places of the concentration strategy. I don't know why. Like, to me, it seems so obvious. When I first heard of the Free State Project, I'm like, wow, what a great idea. I've got to do this. You know, the only thing I was concerned with was it was cold here. And so it took me a few months to really think about it. And I thought, you know what, if there's actually going to be freedom lovers moving together, liberty activists moving together, then I'll deal with the cold.
I think it took me a while to be convinced. But last year, sometime in 2021, Jeremy Kaufman was talking about how it doesn't matter.
He's a board member of the Free State Project.
Yes, he was saying it doesn't really matter how good your ideas are. People are not going to change their mind because what you're saying makes the most sense. Most people are just going to believe what they believe no matter what. It's usually an emotional decision, things like that.
Jed Weiss said the same thing when he was running as John McAfee's vice presidential candidate in 2016. He basically, libertarians are great engineers. We're great at presenting extremely complex situations mm-hmm. and extremely complex answers for them. What we lack are salespeople. We don't have people who can... The average person doesn't want to hear the intricacies of how roads can still be built and how private charities can handle things that the government does. Now, those reasonable arguments are just never going to reach them for some reason because they're driven by emotions.
Well, I actually know Judd Weiss. I've met him on occasion out at various different Liberty conventions back when we used to travel more with Free Talk Live prior to COVID. And I remember asking him, I don't know if it was in Acapulco or wherever it was that I saw him, like, hey, why don't you move to New Hampshire? His girlfriend is originally from New Hampshire.
Yeah, she moved away.
Yeah. I said, well, why don't you move to New Hampshire? You know, look at all the things we've got going on here. And he just doesn't want to leave Los Angeles. He's got like a nice house and he's got friends there and he likes his friends in his nice house. And that was his reason for staying.
But you could have friends in a nice house here too.
Yeah. Well,
and a little bit more freedom than you have there in Los Angeles.
A lot more freedom you would have in New Hampshire. So
I just think that people who don't want to leave Los Angeles, they really think that one day people are going to wake up and get it, that they were right the whole time.
Never
going to
happen.
I think Judd Weiss is smart enough to know that's never going to happen.
Well, yeah. I don't know who that is, but I just mean like the average libertarian living in a city somewhere.
But that's just the thing. Like, some people have priorities, and for some of them, it's living in a city.
Sure.
You know? And I don't know how those people can possibly still have that priority after COVID, given how insane things have gotten in cities, but yet they still do.
Yeah, my bosses were just asking me today, like, to explain how I ended up meeting you and how I ended up here after living in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And I told them that when 2020 happened, I realized the only reason I wanted to live in a city was taken away from me. When all
like
this
to
crap
go out
started.
And do things, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm motivated by peace and freedom. If right. I can have those two things, that's all I need. The rest is incidental. We could solve my need to play the guitar, to have friends or whatever.
Right.
But if there's peace and there's liberty, then there's opportunity for me to do all of the things that I love doing, like having a big house or whatever.
Yeah. For those people that actually have a priority for liberty, those are the ones that need to make the move. If your priority is your career and or taking care of some family member or whatever, then you're going to have to stay where you are. And I wish you the best. It's going to suck because the tyranny is just going to get worse and worse while the freedom is going to get better and better here in New Hampshire. And, you know, that's just the inevitable factor of gathering people together in the same place. We've seen it happen so many times in history where, you know, look at Utah. You brought up Utah, Bonnie, and the Mormons moved there. And there's no doubt about it that the Mormons had a huge impact on that place. The state of Vermont used to be a very red state prior to the 1970s when the hippies had a very deliberate movement to migrate into Vermont. And now it is one of the more left-leaning socialist places.
I didn't know that. I just assumed the hippies thing was always just sort of a stereotype.
No, that's relatively recent to Vermont.
The Mormons, they chose Utah because they said nobody else would want to be there because it was cold and kind
that's
of desolate.
Right. More or less why the Free State Project chose New Hampshire.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's not why the Free State Project chose New Hampshire. New Hampshire was chosen because it was one of 10 different states, all of which had less than 1.5 million population, excluding Rhode Island and Hawaii, because those are notably like notoriously corrupt places. That's why Jason Sorens, the founder of the Free State Project, left those off the list. And thank goodness Hawaii didn't win. It's truly
people would have voted for it just because it's Hawaii.
It's yeah. So most of the states were colder, like the most southern state of the different states in the Free State Project running the 10 states was Delaware. So that was as south as it got, because the more south you go, the more the population tends to be in states. Hmm. So it was really just because it was low population and there was 101 reasons to move to New Hampshire.
I'm not saying that was the only reason. I'm just saying that it's actually kind of a good thing for people who are choosing a place to go and change the culture, be in a place where not a huge amount of people already want to be.
No, you're absolutely right about that, Bonnie. There's a natural filter of the fact that it's cold here. It keeps away the average person. It keeps away sunshine, so-called activists, people who don't want to do anything except if it's a warm place. So, coming up, one of those free staters, one of those liberty reps, our very own Matthew Santanastasso, who is, we say our very own because lives around here.
He's the nightcap state rep.
He's the nightcap state rep. Yeah, he came out and partied with us on multiple occasions when we were doing the nightcaps last year in, 2020. And he's got a bill to declare independence, and it's making headlines. We'll tell you about it coming up. Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We've been telling you about how Intercoin can help any business and organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. And now Intercoin has launched its investor token worldwide. And for the first time, it's available on an exchange. You can get an account over at xmarkets.com. That's exmarkets.com, just using an email address. They don't require know your customers. You can keep your privacy intact and then deposit dozens of different cryptos, including Bitcoin, trade them for Tether on the exchange, and then use your Tether to buy ITR, which is the Intercoin investor token. You can learn more about the Intercoin vision at intercoin.org. Buy or sell ITR on xmarkets.com. exmarkets.com, you just might be advancing the cause of liberty around the world. As we continue here, let's go to the phones, to the phone. Talk is on the line in Texas. You're on Free Talk Live. Talk.
Hey, guys, making a lot of sense tonight.
Go ahead, Tom.
Thank you.
What's on your mind?
Yes. I had a hypothetical come up. What's the population of Keene?
Depending on whether the college is in session, because there's a small state college here, probably between 18 and 23,000.
Oh, that's perfect. That's a perfect. I thought it might work. Okay, say 4,500 homeless people are running around the place, and y'all are successful here in the next years of separating from the United States. Of course, that may be immaterial, but
I want to make sure I heard you correctly. 400 or 500 homeless people running around Keene, New Hampshire.
Yeah, well, you know, it's they don't have like numbers on their.
I don't think there's 400 or 500.
There's nowhere near 400 or 500.
No,
there's like
four or five.
No, there's more than that. There's enough there's enough homeless people here for a full government shelter and a full privately run shelter. So I bet you a couple hundred.
This friend of mine was asking. He goes, "You're so smart. Tell me about what you do about the homeless." And I said, "I got some people I'll ask." And he said, "A hypothetical would be a small town. Doesn't matter where. Let's pick Keene because that's right on the number that he was thinking of. You know, it's kind of a small town." And then you got a bunch of people, I don't know how many, no one knows how many. You got a bunch of homeless running around, and they're
homeless people
addicted to ethyl alcohol, or they're addicted to something, or there's problems, there's serious issues.
Yep.
So they're running around town. What do you guys do about it?
Well, you're talking about when New Hampshire leaves the United States?
I don't think that matters.
Yeah, I was going to say that wouldn't have any effect whatsoever on how cities deal with homeless people. So the way it works now is there's a government-run shelter and there's a privately-run shelter. The privately-run shelter is called 100 Nights. I have supported it directly via donation on a monthly basis for I don't know how many years now, quite a few. And the Shire Free Church, which is the church that runs this show, has been a donor as well. We've sponsored some of their events in the past. Like they have this annual dance kind of shindig that they throw for a large fundraiser. We were the sponsors of that until the FBI raided our studios a few years back.
But I'm talking about their freedom and their rights, their freedom. If they don't want to go to a shelter, if they don't want to even talk to you, if they don't want to, if they want freedom,
if they're wearing. Government goons getting in people's way, then people would be able to voluntarily let them stay on their land, like behind Market Basket or whatever.
That's a good point, Bonnie. There was a story years ago here in Keene, I don't know, 10 years ago now, where behind one of the grocery stores, actually the Hannaford Plaza, there's a kind of a wooded, there's a wooded area behind there, and there were homeless people that had built like a lean-to, some sort of a shelter in the forest, and they were living back there. And with the property owner's permission, mind you, the owner of the property says, yeah, I don't care. You know, go ahead. It's fine. But the government gang cared. They said, oh, this isn't to code. You need to have a building permit, blah, blah, blah. And they came in there and they forced them to tear their shelter down and forced them basically to disperse from the area. And they weren't bothering anyone. They were out of the people's way and they were just living in the forest, basically. So, yeah, if you get the government out of it, then you would have less homeless like running around and more homeless living somewhere where they're welcome. So that would be one thing. But if you're asking the question talk of what would it be like if the libertarians were running things, is that what your question is?
Well, yeah, I did have a thought that we would go there because the laws there may or not be laws concerning them as far as some of the ones that might be more and more trouble and actually dangerous or something, and there might be some way of actually passing a law that says, hey, we're going to arrest you if you keep it up.
And it's keep like, what up?
Well, excrement on the sidewalk or different.
I mean, that's
like
gross, but that's not dangerous to anyone.
Oh, you might slip and fall, I guess. But
the snow is a bigger threat than the excrement of homeless people.
Yeah, this isn't San Francisco.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it just isn't a problem here. It might end up being a water supply problem in some places,
but
not
here. The worst you're going to see in Keene, New Hampshire from allegedly homeless people, and not even necessarily homeless people, is maybe a needle. You might run across, like, you know, an injecting kind of needle somewhere that some junkie didn't throw in a garbage can and just left on the side of the road. I've never seen a pile of dung that wasn't from like a horse or something, right? Like that. I've never seen homeless dung on the streets.
How could a horse pile of dung get here? I've never seen a horse here.
I've never seen that in Keene, but I have seen it in Concord. There was one time when Vermin Supreme did a pony march on Concord, and our friend Jay Noon provided and his brothers provided the ponies.
Well, he's earned his pay fast, and he started throwing rocks through the window to get that girl to like it.
Well, that's a crime if you break. I don't know.
I don't think
if
these
you
are exclusive
this.
To homeless people.
Yeah, talk. I don't know if you realize this, but homeless people aren't, you know, any more or less likely, to my knowledge, to actually commit crimes like you're talking about.
I just had a couple of people staying in my house. You know, just didn't know them. Guy was had been attacked, and he slept in there. And his girlfriend April was with him, and I let him stay in the house. I slept fine. Okay.
Well, that's very kind of you. Did they steal anything from you or break your windows?
No, they didn't. They were down on their luck. And
You have repeatedly characterized homeless people as having mental health issues, being
some
dangerous, being a threat.
She just got out of a mental hospital.
I will say this, that it is more likely that a homeless person is going to have a mental health issue. I'll say that.
I'll tell you something interesting. They diagnosed her with schizophrenia and post-traumatic stress disorder, and she had neither.
Well, it's certainly not uncommon for the medical establishment to overdiagnose mental problems so they can prescribe their buddies in the pharmaceutical industry to them.
You're smart. Thank you.
Thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. But no, I don't buy the idea that homeless people are you know, worse people or more likely to be criminal element or anything. I think that any crimes that are committed by the homeless are probably just sort of endemic to being homeless. The fact that they need to sleep somewhere, and sometimes they'll sleep places where they're not authorized, or, you know...
But this is the part where law kind of breaks down. I mean, okay, I wouldn't be happy about it to wake up and see some homeless person had thrown up a tent in my backyard, but that would be primarily because it's going to make me sad to think that this person is just out there and constantly reminding me about it. It's not going to be because, dude, how dare you break the law and trespass on my property? At some point, you know, the whole goal of being a human is to be compassionate toward one another, and the law doesn't provide that.
Right. I think that what you would see in a truly libertarian society, which we do not have, but in a libertarian society, there would be no public property, at least in theory. There would be all privately owned property. So every park, every sidewalk, every road would have someone who is accountable for it. Now it's the government gang. They're the ones that own the sidewalks and the roads and most of the parks. So this would change that, and it would allow a private owner to set policy. So if that private owner wants to allow homeless people to sleep on the sidewalk, then they would be allowed to sleep on the sidewalk. Now, I suspect that most business owners who would be renting the properties that are adjacent to that sidewalk probably wouldn't welcome homeless people sleeping out front. It tends to keep away business when there's some, you know, drunkard who's, you know, sprawled out in front of a establishment. So there would likely be rules against that, and those people would be prohibited.
I tend to think that with less rules prohibiting people from, you know, selling sandwiches out of their own houses or whatever to make money, I tend to think that without all these laws, there'd be a lot less homeless people.
I think you're right
about
that.
That's where I always go with conversations like this.
That's a great point. There's more coming up here at 603-283-6160. More freedom means less homelessness in general. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, phones are open. If you want to join us in the remaining moments, you better get on now, because now's when everybody's decided to call in. After
just
waiting
to be how it goes
all night long, they're here. With you tonight, by the way, it's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Arya.
And don't forget, of course, you can join us online. Just get on over to freetalklive.com and you'll find archives of the show. We've got RSS feeds for those of you that want to subscribe to our podcast. You can go to feeds.freetalklive.com and you'll find a list of options there for you. That's feeds.freetalklive.com. Or if you just want to click and download and listen, you just look on the front page. You'll find the podcast widget is there for you. So once again, freetalklive.com. We're going to go back to your calls and thoughts. And if we get the chance, we'll talk a little bit about independence, because this is a big week for the New Hampshire exit movement. It's the first time that we're going to have the chance to show up in front of state representatives, some of whom are not very friendly to the ideas of independence. We've got some choice quotes to share with you if we get the chance. But first up, Jack is on the line in Washington State. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, the fact that a private homeowner can't house homeless people on their property with the homeless problem that we have, if we had more people like them, almost like foster land, mm-hmm. so to speak, we would have less of a problem. The taxes he pays on the property, and he can't take care of people and give them somewhere to live, with the problem we have, is just obnoxious to me.
Yep.
But we have code enforcement to keep us safe.
Well, to be fair, you know, letting people set up lean-tos and tent system like that, I don't know if I would consider that, you know, solving the homeless problem. I don't know whether or not I could consider one of those things, especially somewhere like New Hampshire, to be a home.
Well, they did.
That's true.
One person at a time, one family, one plot of land at a time. You know, you give people property and, you know, they'll move on. They'll grow. They have a home.
Well, yeah, there's different types of homeless, right? So, like, there's the type of homeless that's in it by circumstance. They lost their job, they were one bill behind, and they couldn't pay their rent anymore, and before they knew it, they were out on the streets, and they want to get back into a house. Then there's the kind of person who chooses to be homeless. There are these people who are like, you know what? I'm walking away from society. I don't need an apartment. I don't need a house. All I need is myself and my tent and my dog or whatever, right? Like, they've chosen.
I know a person like that.
Yeah, those people exist, too. So, like, there's the whole range. There's also the junkie who's homeless because they're a total loser and they can't get their S straight and they're high all the time and they, you know, steal from everyone that they encounter. So, like, there's the whole range of people who are homeless. And so let's let the market decide how to handle this situation. One guy with some property says, hey, those of you that want to be homeless, here's a place. You can be homeless on my land. Come on over, set up your lean-tos, pop your tents up, have at it. There's a creek going through it, whatever, you know, have a good time. And then there's the private homeless shelter that says, hey, you need some help? Come on in. We're open the 100 coldest nights of the year. They're not open year-round like the government shelters. And in the private homeless shelter here in Keene, which is called 100 Nights, what they do is... No. You don't have a registered bed. When you come in there for the night, you get whatever bed is open. You don't get to go and say, hey, that's my bed. I was there last night. No. You take whatever beds are available, and you don't get to say, you know, you get some sort of claim on the bed. Whereas in the government homeless shelter, everybody's got their assigned space. They can be there at any time, day or night, and it's like they have this little spot, and it's, you know, it creates a place for them. Whereas the one that's privately run is trying to encourage them, hey, you don't want to stay here. This isn't a place that you want to be permanently. And they offer them services. They offer them, you know, like job finding services. They will help you with a resume. You can use the printer, use the computer, you know, print something up, apply for jobs. There's classes and things like that to help people who want to get back on their feet and want to get back into a home to help them do that. So let's have all different sorts of approaches. Jack, anything else you want to share?
Seems to be gone.
I think he's gone.
He said something about a mic earlier, and then there was nothing else from him, so I don't know what was going on with him.
Richard is on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Richard. Uh-oh, maybe it's our lines. Richard, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
It is being proposed when the New Mexico legislation 30-day session opens tomorrow that election days here in New Mexico be made a state holiday.
Oh, God.
And I do not know if any other state has this policy or if New Mexico is going to lead the country in something positive this time instead of usually being on the top of most negative things in the United States, like education.
I hate federal holidays or government holidays. It's just an excuse for the goons to keep you in jail another day.
Quick search here on the internet reveals, according to the Wikipedia article, Richard, there are several states, actually, where it is a public holiday on the election day. That is Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Kentucky, Louisiana, Montana, New Jersey, New York, Virginia, West Virginia, and the Northern Mariana Islands in Puerto Rico.
How does that work anyway? Because the goons obviously have to work for it to be election day, but it's also a holiday. So is it a holiday for everyone except the goons? Because that's kind of funny.
Well, no, if it's a public holiday, it would be a day off for all the government workers except for the people working in the election department.
It gets the white collar bankers out there so that they're free to go and vote.
Right. Mm-hmm. And all the government workers are free to go and vote. And of course, they're going to vote anyway because their budgets depend on it.
But it doesn't do anything for your Walmart employee.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. Richard, I mean, what do you think, Richard? Should this be a holiday?
Well, I think we have enough holidays in this country now. And we seem to every once in a while, every few years, come up with some other day to make a holiday, and it's outrageous because I used to work in corrections and law enforcement, and a lot of times on the holidays, I had to work.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I don't think we need more holidays. I think if you want to go and vote, you can generally vote. I think most employers will let you do it. And if not, there's usually voting hours is like 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So unless you're
early voting too.
In a lot of states, there are early voting options. That's another good point. You can also do absentee ballot. So if you work a 12-hour shift at a hospital and you can't get to the polling location. Most people don't work 12-hour shifts. Most people probably have an 8 or 9 hour day, so they could probably go before or after work. But if for whatever reason your working day obliterates your opportunity to vote, then just get an absentee ballot. I mean, if you really want to vote, you can. So the idea that it would be a holiday would just be an excuse for more people to just not work and not vote in that particular case. Thanks, Richard, for the call. Let's bring Sarah on the line. She knows a thing or two about being homeless. Go ahead, Sarah.
I just want to say, you know, Russians could care less about the sanctions because don't they have billions of dollars saved in reserve? That's what they're saying.
So, yeah, Russia's a very big country, and they don't need to trade with the United States as far as sanctions is concerned. I didn't know. Are they being sanctioned, or is that a threat that's being levied against them?
Well, it's a threat. It's a threat but they're not afraid because they can still trade with North Korea.
Yeah, they can
Vietnam,
trade with the rest of the country
China.
Or the rest of the world, rather.
North Korea has nothing to trade to.
That's
them.
True, yeah. North Korea
but the
is
other communist
poor.
Countries. They
is
China, still can't
is
trade,
Russia
like,
considered communist?
No, they're not. Sarah wants to believe that they're secretly communist. Is what she said
well,
when she's called before.
I believe that they are communists because if the Ukraine joins NATO, they're going to invade. So what does that mean?
That just
they're
makes them tyrants.
How does that make them communist?
Well, they are communists because you just don't want to believe it.
You have to have evidence.
As I understand it, the Soviet Union collapsed, and so did communism. And now they don't have capitalism just like the United States doesn't, but they have a system very
a mixed
similar
economy.
To the United States economic
cronyism.
System. Yeah.
Crony capitalism. But Sarah, if you're going to make a statement that they are a thing, you have to have evidence for it, not just a conspiracy.
Well, the thing about it is, why are they? I mean, obviously they are communists.
Why is that obvious?
They're just pretending to be capitalists. Why are they going
proof?
To invade the Western world? You know what I mean? What's the point of
I don't know if
that?
I would call Ukraine the Western world, but
the whole Western world.
So I mean, there's something inherent in communism that makes them want to invade Ukraine. Is that what you're saying?
Well, because
it used to be communist all the way to the Eastern Europe.
Well, she's saying
Eastern Germany.
She's saying that because Ukraine is going to join NATO, that is the reason that Russia is going to invade Ukraine, and that shows that Russia is secret communist. But NATO's not that, you know.
I don't think.
But to me, it's an obvious communist. They're
I wish we had more time. I wish.
I kind of do too.
I wish. Call us tomorrow, Sarah, and you're going to have to come up. Well, of course she's going to call tomorrow. But you're going to have to come up with some evidence. Like, what is the evidence that the Russians are communists? I'm sure there are still some communists in Russia, but as far as their government and the structure of everything over there, I don't know if I'm buying that one. More coming up tomorrow. See you then.